So we have to understand that we're going through a process. Just because we're saved doesn't mean we're ready for heaven. I said just because we're saved doesn't mean we're ready for heaven. I didn't say you weren't going there, but what I said is you wouldn't fit in too well unless you change. And that's what that scripture is all about in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, number one, we're to present our bodies to the Lord, and that is we are to commit ourselves to God when we are saved. And then secondly, it goes on to say that we are to have our minds renewed in the Word of God. And so that process is in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, which says very clearly we're to have our minds renewed by the Word of God. And there's no other way to do it. If there was, if God could just suddenly download everything that He had into our minds, it would be a wonderful thing, but He doesn't do that. It takes a lifetime to be conformed to the image of Christ, which is the same process. Now, somebody said something very interesting. I believe it was Adrian Rogers said. He said, if you keep going the way you're going, where will you end up? Now, that's a good question. If you keep going the way you're going, where will you end up? Now, of course, we know that he was talking about salvation at the time he said that. But you have to go all the way back to Genesis, where everything starts and where everything is planted in the Bible. The seed bed of the Bible is the book of Genesis. And in the book of Genesis, God makes it very clear that in life there's two roads to go down. It's either the tree of life, which is the renewing of the mind, which is preparing for heaven, which is being with Christ for eternity. In fact, God told Adam and Eve, I want you to rule and reign on this earth because that will be a picture of ruling and reigning with me in eternity. You see. So that's very clear. God said, we are to be rulers and we are to reign with Christ. That's God's purpose in every single life. But it will not happen if you do not renew your mind in the Word of God. People love to do things for God and they do things all the time. You can be religious and do things for God and be lost. So it's not the doing of the things for God that's the most important thing, although that's a process that will take place if you do this part about renewing your mind. And the difference is, it's a difference between being a worm crawling on the ground and a beautiful butterfly flying in the air above it all. That's exactly what God wants to do. Take us from the worm, which we were before we were saved, to a beautiful butterfly that's flying above it all. And that's the process that only the Word of God can do. So I'm talking about the fact today that we have to change. God is not going to accept us like we are when we are saved. He's going to accept us as we progress to be like Christ in this life. So that is a process. You see it throughout the entire Bible. There's three things about this area of changing, and it's very simply this: number one, receiving Christ, and then committing ourselves to God. I love the book of Ruth because Ruth said, Naomi, I want to go where you go. I want to die where you die. But most importantly, she said, I want your God to be my God. And so she made a commitment of her life. She left everything she had. She left all of her family, left all of her relatives, left everybody in order to follow Naomi so that she would know what God is really like. And Paul made one of the most prideful statements I've ever heard in the Bible. Paul said very simply this, I want you to be like me. How many of us right now could say to someone, I want you to be like me. I want you to be like I am in Christ. I want you to be like me. That's exactly where God is taking us to the point where we'll be able to say to somebody who just got saved, now if you want to know what it is to be a Christian, be like me. That is the process that God wants to bring us to, and you say, my goodness, that's a lot of responsibility. Yes, it is. And you know, if we don't tell it like it is, how's everybody going to get there? You know, there's another interesting thing in reaching a destination. You have a choice where you're going to end up, but you don't have a choice of the consequences. Isn't that interesting? A person has no choice of the consequences if they end up in eternal hell, because it'll automatically take place. But you do have a choice of the consequences in heaven, because once again, it goes back to this process that God wants us to change. And it's very easy for people to do, and many people do, when they get saved, they say, okay, God, I'm going to heaven. Thank you very much. I'll take over from here. That's called religion. And God hates it. He really does. What he wants us to do when we come to Christ and give our life to him, we say, okay, God, make me and anything you want me to be. And you hear all these stories and all these examples about the potter and taking a lump of clay and forming it into something. And we read all of those things, and the people have made poems about it and everything else imaginable. And you know, that's exactly what God wants us to do. He's the boss, he's the potter, we are the clay. So that means everything we have belongs to him, everything we do is under his scrutiny and under his, not his control, but it's under his watch, and he wants to guide us in every phase of life, and there's no part of life, there's no secret part of your life that God doesn't want to be involved in. It's very easy to be religious and say, God, okay, I'm going to give you a few hours a week. I'm going to give you on Sunday, maybe even Wednesday night. But God, the rest of it, I'll take care of it. But God said, I want the whole thing. In other words, God wants your life. It's exactly the way it is. It's really interesting. Jesus told the disciples, now go out and do what I did because you've been following me. And so I want you to be as me when you go out, and I want you to preach the word of God. I want you to heal people. I want you to, pardon the expression, raise the dead. And I want you to, there's a lot of dead people, folks, that need raised. Do I hear an amen? In churches. Do I hear an amen? All right, now, he said, raise the dead. He said, deliver from demonic powers and that whole thing. And then the interesting thing about it was, then he sent out 70, and then he sent out 120. But the whole point was, Jesus said it to you and I, he said, now I want you to be like me, and then I want you to be able to tell some more people to be like you, and then they will tell somebody else to be like them. Because we're all following Jesus. That's the whole issue. In other words, if we're not doing that, we're wasting our time, you see, as far as God is concerned. And there's going to be a lot of people, the Bible says, I'll use the Bible term, ashamed at the coming of Jesus because they did not allow him to mold and shape their life into the image of Jesus Christ. Now, you say, that's hard. Well, not if you walk with Jesus. Now, we're going to look at a couple of scriptures. First, you got to get saved, of course. That's important. Secondly, then you renew your mind in the Word of God. So it's being saved, renewing our mind, and then doing the works of Jesus. You could say being saved in our spirit, renewing our mind and our soul, and doing the works of Jesus through our body. Because the Bible says we're spirit, soul, and body. And some people want to jump over the soul part. They want to go from the spirit to doing the works, and they never get their mind renewed, and it won't count when we stand before the Lord. So let's look in Psalm 1 in your Bibles. Psalm chapter 1. If you're listening, say amen. Amen. All right. I'm just telling you the way God, the Bible says it, I'm telling you the way God says it. You may, if you got a better idea, talk to God about it. Because I can't do much about that. But we want to go to Psalm 1. And this, incidentally, was the first psalm I ever memorized. I remember doing it. I was close enough where I used to work that I walked to work. And sometimes I'd walk early in the morning, come back late at night, and I'd walk, and I would just keep saying this psalm to myself. And finally, this psalm became a part of me. And when this psalm became a part of me, then I became a fellow that was interested in teaching the Word of God. Now, God says very simply here how to be blessed, how to be joyous, how to be excited about the things of God. That's it. If you want to know how, this is the way. He starts out in the negative way. He said, blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. In other words, he said very simply, don't spend a lot of your time around lost people who don't care anything about God and don't want to hear about God. Don't spend a lot of your time with them. It's very clear. He said, don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't stand in the way of sinners, people that are sinning, even though they might talk a good story and say, I got saved 20 years ago, but they're in sin now. Don't spend a lot of time with them if they're not interested in hearing the Word of God. And then you come to the place, sitting in the seat of the scornful, and those are absolute people that hate God, man, and everything else that's moving. And so the Bible says very clearly, if you want to become like Christ, don't spend time, a lot of time, with those kind of people. You might say, well, I'm related to them. Well, that's a problem. But I would still spend less time with them. You're better off spending time with somebody you're not related to that's loving and seeking Jesus Christ than a relative who doesn't care anything about God. Do I hear an amen? Amen. All right. Now, so it goes on and it says, but his delight, verse 2, this is it right here. Put stars on it, circle it, and let it become a part of your life. Here it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. Now, it says day and night. That means every day. That means being in the Word of God every day. If we're only in the Word of God once a week, you're in religion. You're not in Christianity. You see? You cannot become like Jesus if you're not in the Word of God. And of course, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments, and so on. And that's important too. But here he says, if you are in the Word of God on a daily basis, you're meditating on the Word, you're taking in the Word. The Word is more important than any other book or any other conversation. And you're not standing in the way of the ungodly, nor sitting in the seat of the scornful, and so on. If you're not doing that, then God says he's going to do something, and here it is. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. How many can say, whatever I'm doing is prospering? You see? That's the issue. And if what you're doing is not prospering, then I would say in most cases, you're not in the Word of God on a seriously on a daily basis. Somebody said, well, you know, I like the Bible. But my question is, do you take the Bible seriously? Is it the most important book that you own? Is it the one that you're in on a daily basis? It's what it says here, but his delight, and in his law does he meditate day and night. God says that's the answer. It's not complicated. There's a few people, a handful of people that don't have a lot of opportunity to read during the week, and what they do, they take the CDs of the messages on Sunday and they go over those and they listen to them all week long, taking in the Word, taking in the Word, taking in the Word. It's not all just reading. You can listen to the Word of God, however you can do it, but take it in on a daily basis. One of the reasons that grace is such a good help to me when we're on the radio together is because, very simply, she's in her. There's hardly a time that's going on that she's not listening to the Word of God. Are you listening to me? She's listening hour after hour after hour. She does that while she does her housework. She does that while she's doing other things. And I'm not. This is just normal. This is normal. How many people have on things or have things on that don't mean anything? And you're listening to stuff all day long that's contributing to verse 1 there in Psalm 1. You're listening to the ungodly. You're standing in the way of sinners. You're sitting in the seat of the scornful. And God said you will not be successful, not only now, but even in heaven. You're going to have to be reprogrammed. Are you listening to me? What do you think outer darkness is in heaven? It's the place where you go, if you didn't take in the Word of God here, you're going to have to do it there. I've come to the conclusion that when Jesus builds a new heaven and a new earth, there's not going to be anybody on there that doesn't know the Word of God. So you're going to have to learn it here, or you're going to have to learn it there. But the problem is, if you learn it there, you're going to lose a lot of rewards and inheritance and ruling and reigning with Jesus and all those things that he has designed you to be in according to the Word of God. Now, what you think in your mind is what you're going to do. Whatever you concentrate on in your mind is what you'll end up doing. If you're thinking all week long, now this is no reflection on anybody, I'm not against any of this, but if all you think of all week long is what you're going to do on the weekend and the recreation you're going to be involved in, then you're not going to change into the image of Christ. You understand? There's nothing wrong with doing some of those things, but the issue is that you will not change into the image of Christ. That's what this whole thing is all about. We come to church to praise God, to give honor to Him, to do all these things, but the issue is we also come to be changed, constantly changed. It's not just getting saved one time. It's being changed Sunday after Sunday, week after week, day after day, being changed into the image of Jesus Christ, because God's loved His Son and knew His Son so well, He said, I want a bunch just like Him. And the issue is that any of us can be like Christ if we allow the Word of God to change our thinking. The problem in the schools today, they're changing your thinking, all right, but they're changing their thinking to the world system, which is lost and cannot take you to heaven. They used to have Bibles in the school. They read Bible. They studied the Bible in school. They don't do that anymore. In fact, the first schools were in churches. There was a purpose for that, so the kids would study the Word of God. And so you have to determine where is the things coming from that I'm putting into my mind on a regular daily basis. What am I putting into my mind? where is this coming from? What's causing me to think the way I think? You see. And so it's, what am I listening to? What am I watching? I keep talking about this. You cannot watch as the world squirms and have a decent marriage. Are you listening? You can't do it. Because your mind's on all the wrong things. And you're going to be you're not going to be dissatisfied with your mate eventually. Because they're not like the guy on television or the woman on television. And you have to be so careful what you put in your mind. Grace and I have pretty much limited ourselves to watching a very small amount of television because most of it is teaching you how to be immoral, ungodly, and everything else. And we would rather be listening to the Word of God and taking in the Word of God because we want to change. All that other stuff will change you. Do you know that somebody said, what you speak out of your mouth can change the chemical makeup of your body? Did you know that? What you speak out of your mouth can change the chemical makeup of your body. Our body's designed to listen to what we say as well as what comes into our heart. Our body's designed to listen to what comes out of our mouth, and it affects every cell in your body. So if all you do all day long, you ever call up somebody on the phone, might even be a relative, and they begin to tell you for the next 30 minutes how sick everybody is in the family and how sick they are and what doctor they're going to and all this kind of stuff. Now, I am going to get in trouble for one thing, but the issue is that don't listen to too much of that. Change the conversation. If somebody starts talking to you about what's their big toe's hurting, well, then pray for their big toe. And they say, my ear's hurting. Say, stop. We'll pray for that. And guess if you do that after about an hour, and most of the time you're praying, it'll stop most of that kind of conversation. Are you listening to me? Just sitting there listening to it, it can change you for bad. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not against... But the issue is pray for people. Just don't listen to that big long line of stuff. And some people want to tell it over and over and over and over and over again. You have to be careful not only what you take into your mind, but what comes out of your mouth. Because it will control your life. What we want to do is be conformed to the image of Christ. Is your conversation on the phone? Is your watching of television? Are you going to the movies? If you're around people, is it bringing you closer to Christ or taking you further away? That's important. Now, I understand if you're a disciple of Christ, you're going to talk to people about Jesus, and you have to have people that are on the wrong track to talk to. But the issue is you don't make a career out of being with them if they're negative all the time. Now, the Word of God must be the final authority in your life. What God says must be it. It must be more important than what anybody else says. It must be important what you say. The Word of God has to be the final authority in your life. So this is what it comes to. What am I thinking? What am I saying? What am I doing? Is it lining up with the Word of God? If it's not lining up with the Word of God, you need to ask God and your help to change it. Get into the Word of God yourself and ask God to speak the Word of God, talk the Word of God. I'm going to tell you this right now. People might think it's crazy, but when I'm sick, I'd rather say I'm healed in the name of Jesus instead of talking about how sick I am for a half an hour. Are you listening to me? What we say and what we do have to line up with the Word of God. All I see Jesus doing is healing the sick, not talking about the problem. Are you listening? So we have to understand that God put certain things in us. He put a mind in us and a tongue in us in order to, that it would be purified and be holy and aim us towards the target of being like Jesus Christ. Okay. Now here's the world's idea. I can go sin and God will forgive me. Yes, He will. I agree. But they just want to keep sinning. Everything we do has a consequence, good or bad. If sin never has a good consequence. Somebody tell me that any sin they did was a good consequence to go with it. It just doesn't happen. It is not. We are responsible for what we think and do before God. There's more than one place in the Bible, very interesting, it says, maybe it doesn't say it exactly this way, but there's an angel up there recording everything you say and do. And when we die and we stand before Jesus, it's going to open the books. I still can't get over the fact. It's just like, and here's the interesting thing about it is, you're going to be standing before Jesus. Everything you've ever said and done is going to be spread out all around and for everybody to see. It might be secret here, but it's not going to be secret there. Now, I'm not telling you this just so you'd be afraid that it's going to be somebody, what you're doing is going to be before the Lord, but the issue is that we need to be headed in the right direction to be conformed to the image of Christ, and there isn't anybody that can't be conformed to the image of Christ. Go to James 4:4. James chapter 4 and verse 4. If you're still there, say amen. All right. James 4:4. I don't know what'll happen out of this whole deal, but before I'm finished preaching, there's gonna be at least a handful of people that say, I want to be like Jesus. You understand? You could have thousands of people and just a handful that want to say, I want to be like Jesus. And that's what I'm looking for, people that want to be like Jesus. In fact, this fall, I'm going to teach those that want to be disciples of Christ. I'm going to teach them in some special times. Those that are interested, and I've already had some that said they were interested. Okay, James 4:4 says, oh boy. You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity or opposed to or cannot be with God? Whosoever therefore is a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Whoever is a friend of the world is an enemy of God. And what that means is the world system that's opposed to God, the world system that's taking prayer out of the schools, Bible out of the schools, nativity scenes out of the public places. I can go on. There's a whole long list of them. The world in general is opposed to God. If you go to the United Nations, you will find, in general, the United Nations is opposed to God. No, they're open to Allah. They're open to Buddha. They're open to all these other so-called gods and people that are, I call, howling at the moon. You talk about Jesus Christ, he'll probably escort you right out the door. Are you listening? The world is opposed to God. In fact, God is going to wrap this world up and throw it away like a watered up piece of paper. So I wouldn't want to be in that category. So the point is to become like Jesus Christ. There is nothing in life more important than that. Nothing. No person. Material thing. or anything else. I went by a guy's garage the other day, and in his garage was sitting a beautiful old Corvette. And he had restored this thing to absolute mint condition. It was beautiful. I mean, it was the kind of thing you just like to set in and just start it up and listen to it. You know, you got the picture? I mean, it was wonderful. It's going to be one of those pieces of paper that's discarded by God. When he dies, it's going to be sold at auction. I don't think God cares he has a Corvette in his garage. But I think God does care about his soul. And as far as I know, he's not saved. In this case, all that stuff is opposed to God. You see, that's the issue. Now, all right. Jesus says something else kind of interesting. There's a lot of people think they're pretty good. But Jesus said, if you lust toward a woman in your heart, you have already committed adultery as far as God's concerned. I won't ask for a show of hands. Jesus said, you already committed adultery. So the point I'm trying to make is we need to change our minds in the Word of God. We need to wash our mind daily in the Word of God, because you will automatically do those things if you're not knee-deep, if I can put it this way, in God's Word. That's the whole issue. There is no way to change your mind without the Word of God. It's impossible. It can't be done. I don't care if it's Billy Graham or who it is. He has to be in the Word of God to change his mind, to change his thinking, to change all these things. Now, there's two things interesting about sin. For a lost person that sins, it just means the more they sin, the hotter hell's going to be. For a Christian that sins, it just means very similar. There's going to be losses in heaven, and they may get there quicker than they expected. Are you listening? Aren't you glad you came today? The Bible says you are what you think. You are what the thoughts are going through your mind. That's what you are. You are what you speak out of your mouth. That's what you are. And you know, we can just start talking about certain things and just flip a switch and open the door and say, demons, come in. I'm talking about Christians. It depends on what you're thinking in your mind. That's how serious the Word of God is. Some people think God's just so loving and He's just going to accept any way we are, anytime we are, however we want to be, and that kind of thing. And I'm here to tell you that is not true. God is concerned about every little bit about us and so forth. And do you know everything God says in His Word is going to come to pass? Not one thing that's in the Word of God will not come to pass. Every bit of it's going to come to pass. And when God says that He wants us to be like Jesus, that means that's what He wants. When God says we need to be in the Word of God every day, that means we need to be in the Word of God every day. When God says that Jesus is going to come back again and receive us unto Himself, He's going to do that. When the Bible says He's going to make a new heaven and a new earth, He's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. Whatever God says is what he's going to do. You see? And so that's the issue. Willpower won't work very long. Some people say, oh, I'm strong enough, I can handle this, God. If I need you, I'll call. You know, no problem, God. We can handle it. I can handle this. And if I get in big trouble, I'll call you. And, you know, that works for a while, but not very long. Now, the point is, let God dominate your life. You know, Adam and Eve blew this whole thing by focusing on a piece of fruit. And they were having Bible study with God every single day. Well, quickly, and I'm going to close here. I'm looking for disciples. That's what we're looking for. Looking for disciples. Looking for people that want to follow Jesus Christ. What hinders that? I'll just give you a list. Doctor's reports. Balance of your checkbook. No job. Fighting with your family. Previous experiences, oh, this happens every year. I was so dumb at one time. In the fall, it seemed like I got the flu every year. So I just said, well, fall's coming. I guess I'll have the flu. Guess what? I had the flu. And we start looking at these past things. God's not interested in the past. He's interested in what he can change in your life now. And it goes on. If you don't get the giants out of your land, and I've spent many Sunday mornings talking about the giants in your life, and if you don't get rid of the giants that were put there before you were saved and even came in after you were saved, you're not going to be able to be a disciple of Christ. If you listen to other people who you admire and who you look up to, and many times they don't even know the Lord. Some people make these statements. They say, nobody ever stays married in our family. Guess what happens? You see, you curse your own family. You're cursing yourself with the mouth. You know, it's really interesting. Somebody says, you've been divorced. You can't be successful. Well, tell God that. God doesn't believe that. Why are you going to listen to somebody else say it? God can take a rock and make a disciple out of them. Come on. It's never time to give up. It's never time to quit. There's never too late in life. If you're still breathing and standing upright, you can be like Jesus Christ. That wasn't very weak. I say you can still be like Christ. Thank you. All right, now, let me say something. Listen to this carefully. I've never seen anyone who's received Christ, confessed their sins, renewed their mind in the Word of God, were obedient to Christ, removed the giants, tithed, that ever failed in this life. I've never seen it, ever seen it. But I've seen people be successful that did that. You know, there was I don't know if it's a true story or not, but somebody told us. I thought it was interesting. They said there was a restaurant named The Gate to Hell. Now, whoever would name their restaurant that, it'd have to be a little off somewhere. But the name of this restaurant on this certain street in this certain town was named The Gate to Hell. Now, it just so happened on the same street, there was a church named Calvary Church. And so a guy one time was looking for this restaurant called The Gate to Hell, and he couldn't find it, so he went to a police officer and asked him. And he said this, Well, I can tell you exactly where it is, but you have to pass Calvary before you get there. I said you have to pass by Calvary before you get there. And I'm here to tell you, you have to climb over Jesus to get to hell. Jesus said, I'm the door. I'm the shepherd of the sheep. You know what he meant by that? Whenever they'd take the sheep at night, they'd put them all into a pen, and there'd be one door, only one way, one door into this pen. And Jesus and the keeper of the door would lay down in the door and sleep at night so the sheep couldn't get out. Well, I'm telling you that Jesus is laying at the door of your heart, and you're going to have to climb over him to end up in eternal hell. You listening to me? Somebody said, don't wait for the next exit. Exit right now and come to Jesus. Let's stand before the Lord.